It is 8:32 here on Quicksland this morning. We're going to check in with Main Street Moberly, and Director Diane Richardson joins me in studio. Obviously, news regarding accreditation.
Right.
We'll talk more about that coming up here in just a moment. But
okay.
Let's begin with some timely topics regarding the farmers market. When is that going to start?
We start next week, the 23rd. It's always on a Thursday. It has been for the last 6 years. So we're going into our sixth year, full year. And so some changes with it, though. While the date, the days and the time stay the same, we are moving it from Depot Park down to Tannehill Park, which is right behind the post office. So a little shadier space in that area. And we understand that there's going to be some construction work going on at Depot Park. And so we felt like this would be a really good time to make that move. So we're partnering with our Parks and Rec to utilize that space every Thursday starting next week. And it'll go through the end of the season. We'd like to get to October if we can. And so that's kind of our goal. We've got some new vendors coming in. We have a food truck that will be there every Thursday and possibly more food trucks joining us. And then the big thing that's going to be going along with it is what we're calling Tunes in Tannehill. And while we've had music and entertainment at the farmers market in the past, this is just a bigger effort to reach out to our local musicians and artists and performers and want them to share their talents with us. And so we're kind of starting with an open mic night. And on May 23rd, we'll have one of our vendor groups that have been with us for the last couple of years, the Pride Family. And so they're switching from doing baked goods and things like that with the market to actually performing for us. And they travel, and it's a family of 8, mom and dad plus 6 boys. And they each play a musical instrument and they sing. And so they're going to entertain us at least the first week to kick us off, and then we'll go from there.
So you start when with the farm? What time of the day does it usually start?
The farmer's market starts at 3:30.
3:30, okay.
Mm-hmm. Goes to about 7. Entertainment will start around 5 o'clock.
There you go. Okay, that's why I was wondering. So what time?
Yeah. About 5 o'clock, and of course you can get dinner there with the food trucks being there. We want people to bring their lawn chairs or blankets and just sit and enjoy the environment. So we're looking forward to a change this year.
So is your goal to have Tunes in Tannehill each Thursday with?
It will be each Thursday. That's more of an open mic night kind of thing. So if you play an instrument and you bounce around and share your talent with your family or friends or different places, come on down between the hours of 3:30 and 7, and we will get you plugged in to a microphone. Now, I know in June, July, and August, the third Thursdays of those months will be larger entertainment groups, and we'll promote those as we get closer to those dates.
Are they going
to
be up on the bandstand?
I don't think it's big enough on the bandstand, but it is nice. It is nice. You know, we joined the Mess Busters a few weeks ago to do some cleaning, and that's our meeting spot. And so Tannehill Park is really pretty. Mm-hmm. It's a nice place to hang out.
So that is the new home for the farmers market starting next Thursday, May 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
As far as participation in the farmers market, again, are there requirements to come and be a vendor?
There are. And the best way to find out that information, a couple of ways, is to check out the still under Depot Park Farmers Market. That was the official name under which it was established a few years ago. But we do have a Facebook page. We are putting information out on social media. So stay tuned to that. And if you need a number, you can always call 660-676-1246 to find out more. And we've had new vendors calling us this year. So I'm pretty excited about that.
All right. That's the Farmers Market. We still have Depot Park, I'm going to still say that, and you said that's officially, but it is in Tannehill Park.
Right, right.
Very good. Okay, Diane Richardson with me. We're going to take a break. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment.
What if I told you there was a way to step into another gear for your brain and be much sharper, more focused, and improve your memory to a level that you could only dream about and notice these results in 30 minutes? Hard to believe? Neuroscientists are calling this new brain discovery the biggest advancement in brain science to date. It's called Limitless, the brain pill of the future. Take it, and within 30 minutes, you'll transport your mind to a new level of focus and clarity you would have never thought possible.
I took Limitless, and it started working in minutes. All of a sudden, it felt like a dark cloud had been lifted up right before my eyes. I have a mental clarity I've never felt before.
Biz execs, athletes, teachers, and students are calling Limitless a secret weapon for the brain. You have nothing to lose, so call now and find out how to get a free bottle today.
To find out how to get your free bottle of Limitless, call 800-681-9041. That's 800-681-9041. Free bottle for a limited time. Call now, 800-681-9041, 800-681-9041.
In studio with me, Diane Richardson from Main Street Moberly. All right, we heard from the state representative late last week regarding the assessment. Now, what can you tell us, Diane? First of all, the thought that you're way under budget for this type of, this size of a community, was that surprising in any way? That you would get that comment from the state?
Not at all. Not at all. We know that budgetary restrictions are tough for any nonprofit organization, and they do have a list of criteria for us. And so that was one of the things on the criteria that we needed to take a look at. And as you recall, and many of the listeners may remember this too, back in January, we talked about the assessment and the national representatives and state folks coming into town to do our assessment for us. We started working on our assessment materials and prepping for that back in November. And so as we started looking through the application and all of the information, the evaluation that we were turning in, we started to recognize that there were some things that we were behind on, or some things that we had not devoted time to that we needed to. And so when they came in January to discuss those things with us, they brought those things to the forefront. And so since then, our state folks have had a chance to review that assessment and came back to us with some insufficiencies and some places that we needed to make some significant changes. And so I appreciate everybody meeting last week. That was a meeting that really did require all of our key stakeholders to be at that meeting and at our tables. So I really appreciate the sacrifice that they made that evening to be there with us. It was about an hour and a half long, and that included our own board members. It included the director and the president from the economic development, from the chamber, city council members, our city leaders, our city manager, and some other business owners. So it was very important to have all of them at that table.
Okay, maybe you can explain this, because $300,000 to me seems like a lot, especially when we're 30, I think, was the figure we were given. So what are the requirements of being a Main Street organization? Is the financial commitment different depending on the size of the community?
It is different. Brad, let me share with you those criteria that we look at, and these are national criteria. So it's not just a criteria that our organization is measured by. It's the 2,000 plus Main Street organizations across the United States, and they're all different. Every one of them is different. But we'll start with the operating one, because financially, we know that things don't happen easily without money to make them happen. And so it's simply stated as has an adequate budget. And so what they break down for us is small towns, which is populations of less than 5,000 people, typically have a $40,000 annual budget. Mid-sized community programs that are populations between 5,000 and 50,000 is a 60,000 plus budget. And then large town or urban neighborhoods in the cities is $100,000 plus, and those are populations greater than 50,000 people. So the spectrum is quite large. We are at about 35,000, and we've been at that level for many years. And as you recall, back in 2014 and 15, we sat down and started looking at a strategic plan for the Main Street organization. And at that time, we recognized that in order to move forward, in order to step up in the tier status and the accreditation status, that was something that we were going to have to focus on. And so while you ask if this was something that was kind of a surprise, it really wasn't a surprise to us. But we've not focused on that area for quite some time.
How do we get to 300,000 for this size community then?
It's a lot of hard work. A lot of hard work.
But I mean, in the parameters you just gave, Moberly mm-hmm. would fit more in the 60-ish. Mm-hmm. So why 300,000 for your group?
I think that's a lofty goal, and that's one of the things that we want to take a look at with our organization, with our state organization. The formula, kind of like we always hear a lot about the school formula for funding school mm-hmm. districts, we have a formula established by National Main Street, which is a 30%, 30%, 30%, 10%, 30, 30, 30, 10. And we've talked about that before too. When we look at where our income is coming from, 30% we hope to come from local government and county government, another 30% from sponsors, and another 30% from our local investors downtown or outside of downtown investors. And finally, 10%, which is fundraising. We've looked at our numbers and where those come in, and we're kind of upside down. We do a lot of fundraising. We do a lot of outreach and a lot of connections with our investors, and that's where the priority is right now on where our funding comes from. There are a lot of opportunities for us to reach out to corporations and to larger entities beyond the downtown area who can provide some support to us, and that's an area we really want to tap into. We've not done a capital campaign for the Main Street program that I'm aware of, at least not in the last 5 years. And that's something maybe to take a look at. So we have a list of recommendations from the state office, and so they're going to give us some ideas on where we go from here.
Recently, you held a Piccadilly. Does that fit into this whole in the context of improving your budget and raising some more money?
It does, but it fits into
Or is that just a small piece?
10%. Yeah. It fits into the very small percent. And something that, you know, I've talked about the state director before, and she's actually from our area and shared that again with us the other night. And so she's very passionate about our community, especially, and she's been involved in Main Street for over 14 years. And so she really wants to see our program successful, and so they're spending a lot of time working with us on that program. But she made it pretty clear when they were here that we're not event planners, and so we realize that it takes a lot of time and a lot of man hours to put on the smallest of event to the largest of event. And so spinning our wheels doing those types of things isn't what we want to see in a successful, sustainable budget. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be looking at some other things.
Yeah. You mentioned it was good to have all the stakeholders, different representatives there or the other. So is this a time to evaluate not just Main Street Moberly, the overall scheme of what we're the entire community? Because we have a lot of things in play. You mentioned the Moberly Chamber was here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they've got their interest. And then we've got the CID working as well. So how this all works together.
It does. And, you know, there have been a lot of changes in the last few years. Yeah. The CID was something that we really, you know, once we started making our map for Main Street and deciding what we wanted to do, we kind of took a detour learning about community improvement development districts and how they impact not just the downtown, but a community as a whole. And so we kind of took a detour from our planning and mapping stages at that time and spent some time advocating for a CID, which was the right time to do that. And we've all seen a lot of improvements happening. But the people that help make that happen is our local government, economic development, and the chamber. And we've noticed, too, that they've all undergone some changes as well within the last few years. We have a new tourism director. We have a new chamber director, really, in the last year. And then changes with economic development, and our city council has recently changed. And so it really is time to take a look at, now this is where we're going moving forward. What is our part and what role do we play in that development?
Are you accredited through this year?
We are. I'm glad you asked that, because we had not released that information yet, but we were accredited and received information from the National Main Street affiliated program on April 23rd that we were accredited at an affiliate level again for this year. So this will be our third year. Again, this is a process improvement type of event for us, not really a scorecard, not really a pass-fail kind of thing, but a process improvement. And in moving up to that affiliate level, we've never done that with our program. So had we nailed it the first time, I'd have been more worried about what the status was of our organization. So, you know, much like I look at it as, you know, health and safety services going into businesses or manufacturers or health and food service places and evaluating and saying, look, these are recommendations that we would like for you to see. We'll come back and reevaluate again and see what you need to go and give you some recommendations. And so that's exactly what this program is about. And, you know, we rely heavily on Missouri Main Street and National Main Street to give us that criteria. Their four-point approach and their planning really sets up a community for successful programs.
Okay, Diane Richardson, one more. Tomorrow you have your board meeting, Main Street board meeting. What do you anticipate? What options are being considered? What can happen after this assessment now? What do you look at?
At this point, that's what tomorrow is going to encompass with the board meeting. The board meets every month anyway, and so we know that we're going to take a really close look at the criteria. As I mentioned earlier, there are 10 criteria. Five of them we surpassed and did very well on. Five of them are some places that we need to work a little bit harder on. So we're at 50%. You know, we we think we give 100% of our effort all the time, but we do need people to come in and take a look at this. So I know our board president has been visiting with the state office to see for some guidelines and some guidance and just some help in moving things forward. So tomorrow's meeting will be a little bit different. And while, you know, we have folks that have been on the board for many, many years, they're very passionate about it, as I am. And so it really does knock the wind out of you initially, but then you can always see room for improvement. And so we look at other communities a lot of time, and there are role models, and we're not there yet, and we know that. And so this was a real eye-opener for us. And again, I can't say enough about how I appreciate the other people in the community, because stakeholders, partnerships is a key for making the program work. And that was something that the state office really wanted to focus on, was a work plan for our organization, how we fit in with those other stakeholders, and what we bring to the table, and then working on our budget. And those three were the top things. Once you start putting emphasis on one area, the other things will come along.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming in. I know we normally do it at this time, but a little heavier subject here today to get into. So we'll follow up on the board meeting tomorrow.
That sounds great.
And thanks for coming in.
Sure.
And again, a reminder, the Farmers Market starts next Thursday in Tannehill Hill Park.
Hope to see you there. Bring your guitar or spoons or whatever it is you play and join us.
All right. Diane Richardson joining me from Main Street Moberly on Quicks Land this morning. We'll hear from Tom Sanders on the Moberly City Manager's Report coming up next.